Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Kevin Pollack as my special expert guest. Kevin Pollack is a graduate of San Diego State University, where he played collegiate golf and coached the men's golf team. He has been a PGA golf professional for over 25 years, holding some of the most prestigious golf professional positions in the United States. Kevin is the vice president of the Paloma Golf Group and chief operating officer of Geneva National Golf Club in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Kevin has established the Golf for Life Institute, a program developed to rejuvenate the golf industry by empowering golfers with tools and knowledge to defy the effects of aging and play golf for a lifetime. Tracy and I are also very proud to mention that Kevin is enrolled in the CSNA education program, and we are connected to him through that. And good morning, Kevin. It's great to have you on the show, and welcome as my special guest on this edition of SNU.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure being here.
Kevin, your bio states that you've held some of the most prestigious golf professional positions in the U.S. Could you mention what some of these positions are? And for the listeners, maybe you could share that secret little information about your best golf score.
Well, I was very fortunate when I went to San Diego State. One of the local golf professionals, his name was Tom Mattis III, and he was the vice president of the PGA of America. And Tom convinced me to come to work for him at Singing Hills Golf Club. It was a 54-hole resort in El Cajon, California. So I went to work for Tom as an assistant professional. Tom had then become the president of the PGA of America, so I was so fortunate to have just the right mentor right out of the block to help me. I worked for Tom for a couple of years and had such an interest in the men's golf program that I teamed up with a gentleman by the name of Tag Merritt. Tag was his nickname, who was the director of golf at a new private club in Rancho Santa Fe, California, pretty close to the Del Mar racetrack called Fairbanks Ranch Country Club. We had coached the team for about 4 years. Tag had hired me as the head golf professional at Fairbanks Ranch Country Club, which is a very prestigious club. I believe the initiation fee is somewhere in the $125,000 membership to join now. And I had worked there for almost 10 years and worked for one of the most renowned teaching professionals in the country. Not only was he a great teacher, but I had never met anybody who treated their members and their guests who was more service-oriented than Tag Merritt. So I was very fortunate to work for him. One of the new private clubs that was starting in Southern California was a new development, and it was Dove Canyon Country Club, and it was a Jack Nicklaus signature golf course. And I was hired as the director of golf to start that project and had that process up. So I was fortunate to be able to start that as well as meet Mr. Nicklaus, spend some time with him. We had done that for 4 or 5 years, and the owner of the property looked at us and said, "I got one of the greatest management teams. I want to go acquire golf courses and form a company." So in about 1993, we formed the Paloma Golf Group. We started to acquire golf courses throughout the United States. We had over 8 properties, and I began running all of those. So my game has probably deteriorated a little bit. I was a good college player, but I had 2 college roommates who played the tour for a living, Lenny Clements and Greg Twiggs. Greg won, I believe, 2 tour events, and Lenny is the number 3 all-time money winner without a tour victory. And I'm not sure I ever beat them one day, so it was a good thing I got my college education. I always kind of wondered why. I was pretty good. I mean, my best score was 67, 5 under, and at one point we were playing 9 holes, a bunch of guys, and I shot 7 under, and I had a 29. And I never quite forget something that dramatic in life when you shoot 7 under par in 9 holes. But you start to look at the average tour player. You start to look at like a Lenny and a Greg, and these guys who are out there, these guys are plus 6s or plus 7s at their home course. Meaning however they rate the golf course, it might be a par 72, but they rate it sand. It's a little more difficult than that. These gentlemen are shooting 6 or 7 under par every time they play golf. They get on their home course, and they play this well. So I knew that I was probably not going to go the avenue of playing the tour for a living, but I loved the game, and I wanted to be a teacher and known for it, so I went to work for the best teacher out there.
So what's going on with golf today, Kevin? I mean, it's just exploding. I remember this game, and it's a great game, and I love to play the game. It's a great way for me to spend a relaxing weekend or to take a friend out and just spend some leisure time walking around and shooting the breeze and following the ball. But, I mean, this game is exploding. It's so popular. What's going on out there?
Golf, about 15 years ago, I should really backtrack for a second and say about 15 years ago, the National Golf Foundation came out and said, we need to build a golf course every day for the next 10 to 15 years just to keep pace with demand. So that's what started to happen. And we started building golf courses and opening 350, 400, 500 a year. And you had these greats, these giants, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, Lee Trevino, all the baby boomers kind of, they got caught up into this fever for the game. And it was really exciting. So they were building all these golf courses, and where we've been at these last couple of years, as exciting as it's been, it's kind of gotten a little bit stagnant in terms of rounds of golf throughout the United States, at least, have settled down to about the same number of rounds each year, yet supply keeps increasing. And one of the things I attribute to why rounds of golf are a little bit stagnant is that golf is a very athletic and physically demanding sport. It requires tremendous bilateral function, dynamic balance, and the sport, and no sport, tolerates dysfunction. And a lot of people think golf's the sport of a last resort, but it's really not true. And I think what started to happen is people start, because of all the repetition, and they want to get better, and you've got to develop that skill, they start playing a lot of golf, and then they started to have the aches and the pains. And I'll just say, take one of my average members. He's 53 years old. He sits in a car. He sits at a computer. His hip flexors are very tight, so he tends to have this anterior tilt in his hips. He's always complaining of his back pain. And he plays for a little bit, and that's going well, but then his back bothers him, and he can't play as much as he wants. And those dysfunctions will always come to light. Now, we were talking about the popularity. What this Tiger Woods has done for all of us is just tremendous, and Michelle Wee, and it's regaining some of this popularity again. But one of my goals, and one of the goals of all of us in sports and nutrition, is to get people real functional so that they can play as much golf as they want for as long as they want and get this, reverse this stagnant number of rounds and number of players in entering the game. So as much as it's increased for this 15 years, it's kind of hit this plateau, and we need to get them over the hurdle. And it's individuals like yourself who I say are planting the seeds and watch us grow. We're going to change what's going on.
Now, Kevin, what about the newcomer coming into the game? And there's a lot of them, I'm sure, you know, every age, background. And there's no barriers to the game, not anymore. What should they look for if they want to take lessons from a golf pro? What kind of instructor should they look for?
Well, in the States at least, I always look for somebody who's got an accreditation. The PGA of America has different classifications of golf professionals. If you're a Class A golf professional, that means you're certified, you've achieved membership through a series of education, you spent a lot of time getting your credentials. I'd always look for, personally, a PGA golf professional, and preferably someone who's a Class A golf professional, because they know they have the education, they've gone through the process, their fundamentals are very sound in how they're going to teach. But then you also look for that reputation and that personality. And you can usually find that out with a little bit of research. And some people just are easier to work with. They make it simple and it's friendly. So look for that reputation is one of the other things I would do. And if you have the time and you play golf, you could even find out a little bit of their philosophy. You know, some professionals want to do an overhaul of your whole game where others work with what you have. So I would look for a PGA golf professional. I would kind of search out their reputation, and I would also try to find out what type of philosophy they had just in teaching. And those are the three things I would look for.
Now, in the gym, when I'm working with a client, I teach a principle. It's called full range of motion, you know, and you work the muscle through its full natural range. Now, what about instruction in golf? Are there certain principles that you teach, and perhaps what are the most three important?
See, my top three by far is the setup, the address position for the golf ball. You in sport and other people who understand sport and the body know that if you set up in the proper position with the proper angles, the body has a chance to make the right motion. If we don't set these angles or the body's not capable of it, they're not going to be able to be able to swing in the right motion. So I always focus on setup, and I use Tiger Woods as an example. If you listen to Tiger talk for the last 10 years, if you listen very closely, he's always working on his setup, 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 which leads to me, what comes next is, in the second principle, is really weight transfer. When I talk about setup, and I'll define that a little better from the front view, I would like basically your shoulder sockets over your hip sockets, over your knees, over your ankles or your feet. I know you're in a neutral position now. I know that you can transfer weight. I would like your weight 50-50 left-right, 50-50 heels-toes. Like any sport, I know you can go any direction from there. So the second principle that I always look for is weight transfer. I want to be able to get people to use their big muscles so that they can set up like an athlete, load their weight on their right side if they're a right-handed golfer, swing back to their left side, and let those hands and arms just hang on for the ride. And looking for that dynamic balance of motion. So we get them set up right. We teach them how to load and unload, just hang on. But at some point, they have to hold this club. So now the grip becomes important. And so we spend a lot of time with the grip so that as they start to set up properly, transfer their weight, their hands are in a position of neutrality. So when they do make a good swing, that club releases and the ball flies straight. So focus on the setup, because that's going to dictate what happens and how weight transfers. Then get to weight transfer, and then the grip.
You know, it's been said that sport doesn't build character, but only reveals it. Now, Trace and I were talking about this the other day, and I've often wondered this about myself. You know, you see a lot of business done on the golf course. Is it true, and do you think that businessmen take their clients out on the course to actually see some aspect of their character? Is that what's going on out there?
Absolutely, Corey. I mean, I think you've hit the nail on the head. We have members here at this club who play golf probably 5 days a week, and they do their business on the golf course. You can tell a lot about people when they're playing golf. You say words like integrity, and you're looking at, do they kick the ball out of the rough? Are they playing by the rules? And what does that start to tell you about how somebody does business? Or commitment. Do they give up easy? Do they try hard? Do they grind it out? Do you want an employee, if it's maybe an interview, who's going to work through difficult times? Or are they somebody who just kind of tosses the towel in? You look at sportsmanship and you say, you know, they recognize all the good shots. Are they just cheering for themselves? You know, it starts to tell you, how are they going to work in this team situation if they're, you know, in a business or, you know, you need to work with them? I look at even equality. I mean, 60% of all new golfers are ladies now. Ladies play a lot of golf, and our members play a lot of golf here. I watch to see how they're treating that opposite sex. I can see if they're treating them equal. I look to see how, you know, in terms of equality, how do they interact and treat employees? It tells me a lot. How do they come off? Are they kind? You know, I love the people who come out and have a lot of humor. I mean, it's kind of a universal language, you know, getting people to laugh and have fun and watch courtesy out there and see how they handle pressure. And you say, where else do you get to spend 5 hours with a successful businessman or a friend and build a relationship. You don't have the phones going. You get this opportunity, whether it's even the owner of the club that I'm at, being able to go play golf with him and spend 5 hours and just talk to him. People just, they tend to open up in that course of time. You're talking about family and kids and goals, and you talk about so many things. You don't get that opportunity just in the daily course of life. So it opens a whole other avenue, I think, for a lot of people, and that part of the socialness is potentially even overlooked a little bit. But you can certainly tell a lot, to the point where I was watching the Golf Channel, it was probably 2 weeks ago, and there's actually university classes now on golf on just this subject, where you can do business and learn about people and ask all the right questions when you're on a golf course. And I was really surprised to hear that, but it's so very true.
That was a great rendition. I mean, I'm glad I asked you, because I couldn't have said it better myself.
Well,
and that's saying
you.
A lot coming from me. Listen, Kevin, I was talking to a friend the other day, and he said, golf, the game is all mental. Now, what does he mean by that?
Well, it goes back to it's always, you know, man versus man, right? I mean, it's just you. You can't turn around, and all there is your face in the mirror. It's all about you. It's all about what's inside of you. You can work on the swing mechanics. You can work on practicing your skills. You can work on chip and pitching and putt. You can work on all these different aspects. But when it comes out there, it's you against the golf course. You're not playing anybody else. You're playing yourself. You're finding what you're made out of. You're finding how mentally tough you are. You're finding out when you get in trouble, do you just play smarter? You're going for it. You find out all these things. So you've got to be very mentally tough, really do, to play good golf. You've got to be a thinker. There's so much more thought in the game than you ever give it credit for. One of the things we used to do in college, or even as a professional, when I couldn't play a golf course, I would walk it backwards, and I would write my game plan down, because I could see how you wanted to come into all the greens and where the ball should land. So if I didn't have time, I'd go around the golf course backwards, and I'd plan out my strategy if I didn't get an opportunity to play it. So there is a lot of, it's funny, it's got to be like every other sport. You see how the tide turns. You see how the energy's flowing, and you just know who's going to win. You hit a good shot, and you get this confidence, and it builds, and the next tee shot straighter, farther, longer. And yet, if you miss one, all of a sudden, is there a question in your mind? Are you going to miss another one? And you start to see it slip away. Well, you can't think that way. You know, your thoughts start to control what goes on. So you're always talking to yourself. So there is a lot of truth to it's a very mental game.
Now, you established the Golf for Life Institute. So what is that, and why did you establish it?
You know, I'm going to go back just a little bit of time here, not to tell my sob story, because it's anything from that, but in, I believe it was 99, maybe 2000, I was having trouble with my wrist, and people were saying, well, it's probably carpal tunnel, this and that. Anyway, I had an MRI. This neurologist said, you know, we're going to have to fuse your neck together within a year or two. You've got bulging disc, you have this and that. And I was like, I'm 40 years old. I said, yeah, I'm thinking this can't be. Everything's changing. So I said to myself, well, wait a minute. I've got to understand what's going on. And I went out in the world and I searched who's the best for structure and who's the best for nutrition that I could find in the information. And I started to learn from these individuals. I started to learn about the body. I started to learn about the nutrition. I started to do all my homework. And I said, you know, everybody just addresses, here's how you're supposed to swing. Golf has got to be the number one sport for playing what I call compensation golf. They work around their dysfunctions. People don't give the body enough credit. After being in it this long, I now know why I was never good enough. I was not functional. I had too many limits. I'll define function as removing of limitations. I would walk up and down the line of a driving range. Our driving range, probably 60 people, 70 people can tee off at the same time hitting range balls. And I said, how many people even set up in an athletic position and have enough function to make a proper golf swing? As I started to do more and more things and look at it, I said, you know, we've got this all wrong. I need to start to restore some function. I need to add some strength. I need to work with some nutrition to make these people better. So what we really came down to is saying, you know, it's just this program that we've designed really accelerates the progress of your golf game. If I make you more functional, you will play better golf. And then I want to increase the longevity of your golf game. I want you to play for as long as you want to play. Golf is such a neat game because you can play from what we would say is cradle to grave. You can adjust through handicaps and course settings. You can play anybody at any time. And we just look at it and we say, we have got to rejuvenate this industry and defy some of these effects of aging so that people can play for as long as they want. I take my father, for example. He worked for 65 years in his life. And God bless him that he's 79 years old and he just switched to a pull cart, but God gave him his health and he took care of himself so he could keep playing. And as your son, I look at him and say, it's so nice that he could retire and get to play some golf, because it's really what he loved and he never had an opportunity. And when I see people finally get to a point in life where they have some time to play and then they can't, it's just real disappointing to me. So we have put this together. It consists of, you know, really good instructors who teach the proper setup and the proper swing motion. We evaluate our clients and we improve their function. We take away those limitations, and just very generally, because I believe, as Roger Williams said, we're so biochemically individuals that the body tends to be that way also. But there's certain similar conditions we see. I see, for example, the Pink Panther. That's the anterior hips that are tilted forward and the feet that are ducked out to increase their stability. And why they can set up with the proper angles, they don't transfer weight very well, and their head gets forward and their shoulders get tired in a round of golf. And then I see just the reverse of that, somebody whose hips are very posterior. Sometimes you see that in a lot of elderly people, but we're seeing it more and more athletes today. Well, when the hips are tilted back and the head starts to go forward, they can't set the proper angles, they can't maintain them, they can't load, unload. They're actually probably hurting themselves more than here they are thinking that they're doing a good thing by being out there playing. We restore their function. It's part of what we do. And we start to get them emphasized and talk about nutrition. Hopefully we'll talk about that a little later. But getting up in the morning, having a cup of coffee, playing golf and grabbing a hot dog at the turn, that's the guy I want to play for money, because I know that somewhere in that round, they're going to crater. Maybe they'll wash it down with a couple of Gatorades and they'll get 50, 60, 70, 80 grams of sugar in there, spike their insulin, then I'm going to press them and I'm going to beat them more. But our program really is about accelerating progress, getting people functional, and increasing their longevity to play.
So nutrition is the missing link. You and I both know that. We both understand its absolute importance. What do you yourself eat when you play golf? Like, how would you set someone up on the day they're going out for a morning game of golf? What should they eat before, during, and after so that nutrition is really contributing towards their performance and overall golf game?
I'm such a proponent of a protein shake in the morning. Here at the club, at the resort, we make protein shakes for people because you need to get that protein. You need to have those mental wits about you when you're playing out there. You need to have some of those carbohydrates that break down evenly. Even though it's a very athletically demanding sport, I think people make the mistake that they don't have to eat. They can get some food at the turn. You need to start out as any other athlete would in that endeavor, is to say, I need to have something balanced for breakfast. Then I need to go do my stretch, my routine, reposition my joints, shoulders, hips, knees, ankles, so that I'm as functional as I can be. My structure's straight. Now I can go to the range. So if it's not a protein shake, then come into the club, get some egg whites, maybe a piece of toast. I tend to stay away from juices and coffee. Sam Snead once said, don't drink coffee. Coffee will make you jittery. Coffee will get to you when you're putting. Coffee will make you, it'll cost you a couple strokes around. So I stayed away from caffeine. Now, a lot of people it doesn't affect, or some people just can't quit. But give me a good, balanced breakfast in terms of on the golf course. A round of golf's about 4 hours. Hopefully you can make it through the round of golf, and you really don't need to eat, because I don't like to put a lot of food in the stomach and get all the blood going to the stomach. It tends to change the whole tempo. But if you need to get some food, maybe a meal replacement that you can snack on a little, or we here at the club will have just chicken salad or tuna salad just in a cup that people can get at the turn after 9 holes and they can munch on. And one of the things I see that really that get me is the Gatorades and the sugar that's consumed out there that is so unproductive to being able to, you know, just maintain a balance of blood sugar level out there, and it tends to throw people off. So I would approach it pretty much as any other sport, and I would keep hydrated. There's such a play on these electrolytes. Throw a little lemon in your water, but we're not sweating that much when we're playing golf. We get dehydrated, lack of water. My concern would be you actually have more electrolytes, and I don't need to add any more unless it's a very hot day. I just need to rehydrate the body. So we try to get our clients to drink more water than a lot of the sports drinks, because they don't sweat enough.
How responsive do you think are other golfers, golf professionals, and golf clubs to your ideas and strategies when it comes to nutrition? When you travel, when you go to other golf clubs, do you see or hear any emphasis on nutrition at all?
I think everybody's become cognizant of it, and they start talking about all the diets that, you know, people are on, or they get little glimpses of it, but they're missing the component that ties it all together, and I didn't have it myself. This took years of me kind of like fumbling around, and at one point I looked into Feldenkrais, and it was Hellerwerker, and it was a Rolfer, and it was Somantics, and it was all these different things until we came up with this concise concept and being able to understand blood type and body type and how to restore function, how to teach people how to swing. Golf professionals have taught compensation golf their whole life because that's what they've done. We're always trying to get around our dysfunctions. I think people are extremely receptive about it. The method that we use to restore function has over 1 million pain-free clients in the world. In the world, 1 million. They're out there. And the golfers are coming to us, and they hurt, and they want to play better. Just last week, we had somebody come in, said, I was in Florida. I took a golf lesson. The golf professional told me I need to turn my shoulders more so I could get loaded on the right side. She said, I can't turn my shoulders. We argued for 30 minutes, and then he said the lesson was over. So I'm coming to you because I can't do what they're asking me to do. So I think everybody's very receptive to it. I don't know that outside. You're beginning to see it. You're beginning to see the receptiveness. You're beginning to see the receptiveness in the baby boomers trying to understand their body, trying to understand what their number one asset is and how to take care of it. And they're struggling for the information because they're not necessarily always getting it. And we're going to get the word out, and we're going to train golf professionals and certify them, and we're going to just make a dent in everything.
So how can our listeners get more information about you, about Paloma, and down in Geneva where you're at? Do you have a couple of websites, any information they can get to?
The best one to go to is www.GenevaNationalResort.com. It's G-E-N-E-V-A. National, N-A-T-I-O-N-A-L, Resort, R-E-S-O-R-T.com. From there, you can pretty much get anywhere. Our website, golfforlife.net, is not quite up yet, but you can get to most of the information through our main website. you can certainly, you know, always call us here. Our area code here is 262-245-7000. Just ask for the Golf for Life Institute. We've got a certified professional on staff, as well as three additional postural analysis specialists on staff to help people. We do it full time, and we're just starting to get the word out and get people turned on to improving golf in their life.
That's great, Kevin. You know, the quality of the information you've given today has just been most outstanding, and very privileged for you to share that, the lifetime of knowledge that you've been able to contribute. Unfortunately, our time is gone. It always goes by so quickly, and especially today, it's just vaporized before my ears. I'm just wondering if you wouldn't mind sharing and leaving us with a final thought, maybe a word of inspiration that we can all meditate on until the next SNU.
I think our logo probably sums it up best. And our logo, within our logo, says function, strength, nutrition, longevity. Become functional. Exercise. Move. Lots of motion. Get with the right person. Strengthen your structure once you're straight. Work on your nutrition. Understand how you're biochemically different, or you're an individual. You need to understand that. And then enjoy the fruits of healthy longevity. If you take care of those three things, you will live a long, healthy life and be able to do whatever it is you want to do. Focus on your function, your strength, and nutrition. The rest will come, guaranteed.
Kevin Pollack is the Vice President of the Paloma Golf Club and Chief Operating Officer of Geneva National Golf Club in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Representing lifestyle, new way of life. Listen, it's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight, Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.